I'd like to inform everyone the call is now being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may wish to disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Chris, would you like a quick roll call?
Yeah, why don't we do that, Gisela?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's Joint Charter Drafting Work Group call on Wednesday, the 10th of November, we have Chuck Gomes, Krista Spain, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Rafik Damak, Greg Aaron, Alan Greenberg, Jörg Schweiger, Scott McCormick, Jay Daly. From START, we have Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, Julie Headland, Yuri Ito, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies today from Olga Cavalli, Hirohito, and Dave Kisundwayel. Andrej Filip, if he is not able to join the call, he also sends his apology. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you. But given that you and Julie made the amendments to this document, do you think it would be sensible if you briefly took us through where we've got to?
Yes, and I think it looks, in front of you, if you connected to the Adobe room, you see Section 1. There are not so many changes there as there were some questions, especially from Sebastian. One was regarding the name of the working group. This one is called, this one states DSSA Working Group, and the working group we're currently in is called the GCD. This is the charter drafting, and that's the official name of the working group once the charter gets adopted. And probably, if the charter gets adopted, hopefully by Cartagena, two or three months, people forget that this working group ever existed. So just to make sure that, this is the proper name of the working group, or the real working group, so you know this. That is one of the questions. The other one was the more interesting one, I think, about the NRO and the ASO. The NRO is acting as the ASO according to the MOU between ICANN and the RERs/NRO. And only in specific circumstances, say that's the board election and global policy, the ASO council performs the role of the ASO. That's why the NRO is included. These are probably the major issues. Oh, there is another one. There was a question and a remark about the advisory committees, specifically the role of ASEC and ARSEC. As far as I understand, ASEC wants to remain independent and provide independent advice remarks on the work of the working group. Maybe Judy and Chris has something to add there.
But when I invited Steve Crocker to consider the Security and Stability Advisory Committee joining this working group, not the Charter Drafting Working Group, the full working group, he talked to his colleagues and came back and said that he was 100% supportive of setting up the working group, but they in fact felt that it would be best if it provided independent advice to the working group rather than actually sat on the working group. So that's why they're not included.
Okay. So I think that is, and that is recorded as well. So these were the major changes and the questions relating to Section 1. I'll now go to Section 2 with the major changes. I think the working group discussed spent some time on the scope of activities and particularly, avoiding overlap with existing...
Far? Yeah? May I jump into paragraph 1 once again? Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't capable of fiddling with star 6 to speak.
Yeah.
I wonder whether the word issues is really the right word to use in paragraph 1, line 5. although I'm definitely not a native speaker, but issues to me is something that for me sounds biased. Biased in a way that we already know that we do have security and stability issues, and for sure we do not know that, although Rod Bedstrom might have proposed that we do have them. So would it be a good idea to not use the word issues? Although I wouldn't want to come up with something different. It's probably up to the native speaker. And probably I'm just wrong that I think the word is biased in a way.
Would it work just to say DNS?
For me?
That was Chuck's asking if it would work to just to say DNS, which I suppose is actually true. But you're kind of right in the sense that issues means things, but it doesn't necessarily mean bad things, but it does mean things. It implies that there are some things there. But if we said, Chuck, if we said better understanding of DNS related security and stability, or global domain name system related security and stability, that actually takes the word out, doesn't it?
Sounds better to me.
You have the security and stability of the DNS.
Yeah, that's better.
Say that again, Jay.
Security and stability of the DNS.
Of the DNS, yeah, that's fine.
Sounds good to me.
That's fine.
The security and stability of the DNS.
Of the DNS.
Okay, I'll include it in the next version.
Yeah, we need to remove the which subsection after that, which are of common interest. Because that won't make sense anymore.
Yes, it should just say of common interest.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Just let me open up the document.
Don't worry about it, Bart. If you just take notes and we'll work on the... It's just languaging. We'll work on that after.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bart, this is really... And all of you, just so you know, I've got a working copy up... of the document, and I'm transcribing in the document in red line.
Okay.
Changes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And,
brilliant, Julie. Thank you.
And I'm off.
Yeah.
Two parts.
Okay.
To
that takes. That makes it easy. So let's rephrase it before we move forward. Any other questions about paragraph one or remarks before we go into paragraph two?
Okay.
So as an action point for paragraph one, we rephrase it, and it will be included in the next version. Two, objective scope of activities and deliverables. There was a small edit in, as you can see, in paragraph 2.1. The substantive changes are in to scope of activities. What we've done here is... to take into account the potential overlap with existing initiative as discussed. So that's one, that is the section an attempt to coordinate with existing ongoing emerging research studies and initiative with respect to the working groups, in particular ICANN Security, Stability and Resilience review team activities. So that was one part of the discussion. The second one...
Hold on, Bart. Stop there for a second. So just let everybody read that paragraph so that we can, if there are any questions or comments on that before we move on to the next one.
This is Jay again. I'm not convinced about this link with the SSRRT. Because ultimately, the working group that's going to be adopting this charter here will be doing the work of looking at security and stability, and the SSRRT will be reviewing the work that ICANN does on it. And I don't think the two need any coordination. I think we get on, the group that's created to use the charter gets on and does it, and the SSRRT are sort of the scrutiny people that look at it afterwards or at the same time. But we certainly don't need to take into account what they're doing. That would seem as gaming their approach. And the other way around, of course, is they do need to take into account what we're doing, but that's irrelevant to us.
I have no problem taking that out if anybody... functionality. I see that just caught my eye that Alan's asking if we can have scrolling control.
Yeah, but what? Sorry, Cheryl here. What Bart's giving us all is presenter status, which means none of us can scroll. Otherwise,
yeah.
We take over the screen. So
yeah.
There's a different setting, which just gives us gives everyone without pretty colours next to their name. The ability to scroll up and down the document in the pod.
If we could organise that, that would be wonderful. Does anybody have a particular reason for leaving? Does anybody think there's a particular reason for leaving the reference to the SSRRT in?
It was on the previous call. It was I don't know the lady from. Who suggested it, but there was this suggestion to avoid overlap.
I don't think it does avoid overlap, but so take it out, and if somebody wants to put it back in again, we can deal with it on the list, but it seems to me that it's not... I agree with Jay's point. I don't think it's necessary. So
okay.
Take it out for now, and we'll see if... It might have been Kathy, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's just take it out and if we need to put it back in again in some way, we can have a discussion on the list.
Can we go back to 2.1, objectives and goals, versus Jay again?
Yes, Jay, we can.
I agree. I think A, B and C are very good in there. I wonder if there is a usefulness on us trying to, on this group, measuring the perception that people have of these threats as to how serious they are. Because
I think that's
we
a
have,
marketing. Sorry.
Well, we have a twofold thing, don't we? We have technical people who'll be giving their sort of considered opinion on the severity of the threats, but then we have others who, for other reasons, see them as more strategic. And I wonder if the way we've written it there, we will ever be able to achieve an agreed consensus on what severity is. And perhaps we need to allow for difference of perceptions there.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not clear what sort of amendments you would be trying to look at. Are you suggesting that we should simply insert the word perception?
That may do. I don't know whether we need something between A and B, which is the to measure the perception of the overall level of threat to the DNS or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, the problem with that is I'm not. I agree with you that perception is incredibly important, but I'm not sure that you can. I mean, this is intended to be a technical, effectively a technical working group.
Okay.
I don't have a problem talking about perception at all. I'm just concerned about making it a work, an actual objective.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I'm happy to leave that.
Because I think what are you going to do? Do a survey? I mean,
yes.
And if the working group wanted to commission a survey, it could do that anyway.
I'm happy to leave it there.
My five cents to that. I think that we definitely would need a phrase like A, where we would really try to measure something. If Jay does like the word perception and if he really wants a survey, that should only be in addition to point A. I do think that perception is a useful thing to take into account, but it also makes whatever the result of this working group might be, it would give a reason to object to whatever we come up with.
Yeah.
Because it's
okay.
Just a matter of perception.
Okay. Thanks, Greg, yeah.
Greg Aaron has his hand up.
Yes, I just, yeah.
Yes, in general, I agree with you. To the extent possible, I think the working groups are aiming to create some fact-based evaluations, and those, in fact, to the extent they can be established, provide for and enrich future decision-making. So there are a lot of wild opinions out there as about what's going on, as well as some very well-founded, grounded ones. So
yeah.
I think actual is a good word.
All right. That's fine then. We've done 1 and 2-1, and I believe we've now done 2-2, or sorry, the first paragraph of 2-2.
Two two has one other change to it.
The second paragraph of 2-2, that's right.
Yeah. No, and the first bit, within the framework of ICANN's coordinating role, that has been changed as well. That was ICANN's coordinating non-operational role, but as Patrick Jones remarked, ICANN does do IANA and does do the ALRUT. So it's and it's within the limits of the ICANN mission. Okay, 2-2. The second
part.
Hang on. Who was that?
Yeah.
York, was that
York again?
Yeah.
More of a comment than a real question or asking for a rephrasement. The scope of the activities has been limited to root and top level domains. And I clearly see that this more or less is the mandate that the participants probably have. But nevertheless, I fear that if we are really looking at the DNS and the parts of DNS that are really in danger of attacks or whatever we might look at, then definitely the major operators come into play. And I do not have an idea right now how we would address major operators, for example.
Can you give me an example of that here?
Yeah, sure. I never said that, but not publicly. But my feeling is that, for example, .de is not really a major target of malicious intent, but. I do know that major operators of second-level domains are in Germany, like German Telekom, 1&1, and whatsoever. So if we restrict ourselves to the root level and the top-level domains, we might come up with a result stating that everything is quite okay, whereas there might be a certain danger when we look a little bit further down the path or the tree.
And this is the challenge, I think, because we need to be really, really careful about how we stretch this. It is clearly a working group working under ICANN's mission, and its specific purpose is to deal with, if you go back up to the objectives, its specific purpose is to deal with threats to the DNS, and so on, within ICANN's mission. And ICANN's mission effectively stops once you get to the, once you get past the top level. And
yeah.
I think it would be, whilst I understand completely what you're saying, and it's actually what we say to our government all the time, we're fine. It's not us you need to worry about. It's the banks and the large organizations.
Right.
But I don't think we can go that far. Apart from anything else, I think individual CCTLD's views would be that that's a matter for them in their own countries, and it's certainly way outside of ICANN's mission.
There is also a procedural point to it which may alleviate Jörg's concern a little. So if the working group would come across one of these issues, and it is very clearly now out of scope, it can still note this and report back and request, say, either inform or request a change of scope if it really is a concern.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean say if it's becoming very clear that you have to ostracize a fact like this or act as an ostrich.
There's a difference between ostracize and ostrich size, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I think the picture is clear.
You lost me.
don't worry, Rick.
I wonder whether the construction of appointing members by the chairs might be of any help with respect to the point I just made, so that we could probably include somebody who we think might be given or providing the working group with valuable input
from
an operator.
Sure, that's the intention. Sorry, Claire.
No, I thought that was covered.
That is the intention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alan has his hand up.
Oh, yes, he does too. Hi, Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that there are problems that are out of scope for which the solutions might be in scope. The Configure Worm, the activities of ICANN with the Configure Worm,
sure.
For example, where the solution is in fact DNS-centered and root DNS-centered, even though the problem we're trying to solve is not an ICANN-related problem. So we want to make sure that we're open to those kind of things without straying into someone else's domain.
I agree, and I think we are, because the solution sits within the DNS. I think that is covered. But I absolutely agree with you. Although when you started that sentence, I thought you were going to head off into Donald Rumsfeld territory with known problems and unknown problems.
if I ever do that, shoot me.
Greg has his hand up.
Yes.
Well, Configure is actually an interesting example because the registries, for example, don't consider a core DNS event.
Sure.
It was something that leveraged the DNS, but there are lots of things that leverage the DNS, and those are not all within scope for ICANN. One thing that did come out of Configure was an ability for registries to make a contractual exemption request to ICANN. That was something that was, I guess, more in scope. But Configure itself didn't leverage, it wasn't a core DNS issue. So actually, I don't know if I agree with Alan or not on that particular
point. I said part of the solution may be a DNS-related or ICANN-related.
Okay,
I think the key to it let's go back to the bottom line. One of the reasons for setting up this working group is really to try and box up what is DNS, what is the stuff that we need to be dealing with. Mission creep or widening the mission is part of the issues that led to this being done in the first place. I'm not even remotely technical, but it strikes me that if there was a problem with bind that had absolutely no effect whatsoever on the top levels, but for some bizarre reason had effect at the second level, that's still, a problem that you would look at from the point of view of running your DNS server if you happen to use bind. I think I agree with you, Greg, in the sense that a lot of us have said that Configure, whilst the solutions to Configure, we could help with the solutions to Configure, it wasn't actually a DNS problem. I think it would slip into this working group on the basis that there might be a DNS solution. Does that make sense? Silence. Okay, good.
I'll go on because we're now talking about the actual work of the working group.
Yeah, we are. So, Bart, can we go now to the second paragraph, which is at the top of page 2?
Yes, it's there.
Yeah. So what's the changes there? What are the changes there were following the last call, weren't they?
Yeah, it's proactive role, fostering participation, opportunity to comment to participating SOs and ACs and the ICANN community in general. That's one. So that's about engagement of the ICANN community in the work of the working group, and all working group members are encouraged to keep their respective groups updated and solicit feedback and provide that feedback to the working group. Again, communication channels. We spent some time on the last call on providing this mechanism. Any comments, questions about these changes?
Okay.
None, then I'll go scroll down because these were just some typos.
While we're going through, does anybody have any comments on 231, which is the work plan? And before we move on to 232, which Julie's appended a note to. Okay, so 232, Bart is the next one.
232, yeah, reporting.
Yeah, the reporting mechanism.
Yeah, it's, I think there is no real change there. Julie's comment is related to members and staffing and organizations as a whole.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't read the lines on these documents.
Yeah, no, it's related to the next one.
Okay, so 232 and 24, hopefully.
By the way, 232, shouldn't it be the co-chair instead of the chairs of the SSA working group?
No, you are just being, you are being linguistically pure.
He's German.
Absolutely.
Come on. I think co-chairs or the chairs. I don't claim to understand English because I'm Australian, but I just thought there's a big difference between the chairs and the co-chairs.
Well, for consistency, it should be the same.
Yeah.
You know, I do not want to be too puristic about it, but it took me, let's say, 1 or 2 minutes to come up with what is really meant, because once we were talking about chairs, once you were talking about chairs of different groups, and I found out we haven't got a chair within this working group, which is fine. So if we do not have one, then it should be co-chairs everywhere.
I agree. So we'll change it to co-chairs wherever there's a reference to chairs of the particular working group, and that way it'll be clear.
Yeah, and another reason is because there is some reference to other chairs as well,
exactly,
so co-chairs is very good.
Exactly.
That does
Okay.
Okay.
So we're on to 3, I think, Bert.
Sorry?
I think we're on to 3.
Yeah. Section 3 said the comment is that, say, we've combined most part and cleaned up this section, so we combined the two alternatives where possible. There are two sections in here that still need to be discussed. The major changes, I'll run through it. So the first one is there shall be a minimum of one representative from each participating SOAC. I think that is a reasonable inclusion. This paragraph where you can see my hand probably, or this hand, this is again was in both alternatives. The new addition, and I think that is a major change, is all working group participants are expected to be able to.
Hold on. I'm not following, so I shouldn't imagine others are having trouble too. So just hold on. Just so that I make sure that I'm clear, there's a paragraph inserted here that says that the ALAC, CCNSO, and GNSO will each elect a co-chair, and we have no problem with that.
This was what we've done is in the previous document.
Yep, that's
under
right.
Under the alternatives 1 and 2, this was a separate section. We've now included it in this particular section. So there is no change in language there.
Okay. Fine.
Carry on. The second one, there are some changes, or there's some changes here. This is, again, a combination of the two alternatives.
Right.
And based on the conversation we had last time, that is to invite and approach technical and security communities and DNS expert and certs to seek their participation in the activities. And the major change from, if you look at the previous one, and this is a new insertion, is all working the expectation of regarding the working group participants. I'll read it.
Your expertise, yeah.
Yeah. So demonstrate knowledge and or expertise of aspect of the objectives of the working group. So this is a reference to the previous section, and commit ongoing and long-term to actively participate in the activities of the working group. Again, this okay. is based on the discussions from the previous call.
Okay, that second, before I open for discussion, that is just, Julie, if you just take a note that that second bullet point is clumsy, linguistically, we should just clean that up a bit. Make an ongoing or long-term commitment to actually participate or something like that. Does anybody have any comments on any of the three that we've gone through so far?
This is Joe once again.
Yes.
I do have a question if I understood the third paragraph on this page right, where it is stated that any co-chair can, without asking any other co-chair or without asking the group, may be entitled to appoint additional members. Is that what the paragraph really says?
It's co-chairs, so it is plural.
Plural.
I think it's
okay, so there has to be a consent.
Well, yeah, I think what's actually intended is that for logistic purposes, it would be the chairs that open the invitation. But I don't think it's intended that the chairs would necessarily make invitations without the working group agreeing.
Okay.
So I just
want to make sure that this nut is going to end up in a group of software vendor lobbying and where we could appoint anybody else who we want to be in there, and the goal of the working group will...
Yeah, I agree.
This is Chuck. It also, if you look back up to the second sentence in the previous paragraph, it kind of covers that as well, that they should collaborate.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fine with that then.
Anything else?
Yeah, it's Alan. Not to discuss it here, but during the cleanup, we should be consistent on capitalization of chairs and co-chairs. We have pretty much every possible combination of upper and lowercase C's mixed.
Yes. Speaking as a chair myself, I would like to be capitalized whenever possible.
I like the version where co is capitalized, but the chair is not.
As
I said, we shouldn't discuss it here, but it should be clear.
I'll standardize that. Thanks. Chris, did you want disdain in all caps?
That's the way it's normally done, I think.
I thought that was already hard coded into all law.
Yes, it is, Cheryl. Thank you. You get caps, I notice. CLO.
Of course I do.
Okay, shall we move on to the next one?
It's 3-3, I think.
Yeah, 3-3. So this is, again, based on the previous call. There might, and what we try to capture is the need to to engage in confidential and trusted conversations. And the idea was that, at least during the last call, is there might be a subgroup who may need to discuss confidential or proprietary information with outsiders or even with particular registries or registrars. And what we've used is more or less the formulation used from the ASEC.
Let me sum that up before I go to Jay because his hand's up. In the last call, what we basically agreed was it would be practically impossible to bind the working group itself as a whole, apart from anything else, because observers will be there and people may come into calls and so on and so forth, but that there are practically guaranteed to be circumstances where we might be, as Barbara said, dealing with really confidential information, and the way to do that would be to have subgroups within the working group who are able, willing to sign disclosure and so on in order for that information to be dealt with by them. And that's the reason why it's drafted in the way that it is, Jay.
The first sentence to me seems confusing, and I preferred the way that Bart just said it, actually. which is that a sub-working group of this DSSA working group may need to access sensitive or proprietary information in order to do its work, in which case measures should be in place to
protect. I agree. Julie, did you get that?
Yes, I did. Thanks.
Thank you. That's right, Jay. That flows much better. Alan, your hand is up.
Yeah, is it meant that there is a single working group which may have to deal with confidential things, or there may be sub-working groups,
each of which
have to?
Yeah, sub-working groups.
So anything that's confidential will go to the specific working group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because there's no point it may very well be an intensely narrow issue that only people with some certain knowledge would understand anyway.
But no, my question is, there may be that group, but there may be something else which needs confidential access, which
absolutely
is a different set of knowledge.
That's quite right. Yes.
So
that's
why there may be more than one such working group.
They may well be.
Okay, and the wording of it implies later on that there is only one such group.
We will pluralize where necessary.
Thank you.
Someone is rattling.
Mute me, I have had to move back to my other handset because the other one was running out of battery. With the storms, I've got water in the line.
Okay. Can we mute Cheryl, please?
Okay. Cheryl, it's Giesler. Just to say I'm in control of your mute. Just Skype me when you need to talk. Thanks.
Thanks, dear. It'll probably settle anyway, but...
Okay.
Just the water reaching its own level, which water does.
Any more questions or comments?
Okay. I think we can move on from there, Bart.
Yes. I'll skip 3-4 for a minute, so... First, deal with the changes, if there are any, and then so.
3-5.
Sorry.
3-5 then.
Yeah. So support staff and tools. I can expect again. This is from the previous two alternatives, and this is from the two alternatives as well. Rules of engagement not changed. And so this wasn't an alternative one, but you can debate whether or not, but I think it's a reasonable rule. Working group methodology, so 3-7, from both alternatives, although we didn't discuss it, is the first bit, so the part that is not marked yellow. So that is, if there are any questions on the standard methodology, say the green bit or the one that's not marked yellow, please let me know.
Well, but basically the situation is that what this charter drafting working group has to decide is whether it's for this particular issue is whether it is necessary or desirable to have all of the following stuff in about participants disagreeing and so on and so forth.
And the statement of interest. That's the next point.
Well, statement of interest, don't worry about the statement of interest for a minute. That's a separate issue. This one is key because the way that, and I'm not pushing a particular solution here, but just for the benefit of everyone, the way that these things have worked in the past with a number of the joint working groups that we've run, we've done it simply on the basis of our consensus being reached and with everyone having an option to individually or as a minority group to publish a minority report. I think it's important to remember that this working group isn't going to be making binding decisions or policy on anybody and is, in effect, far more of an advisory working group that reports back to its own communities and ICANN on the principles outlined in the first one or two paragraphs of the charter. So I suppose the question for us is, do we really need to have all these mechanisms in place for appeals and all the stuff that's currently there, or If we do, then we do. So open over to others for discussion.
Cheryl has a comment in the chat.
Sorry, who was that? I didn't hear who that was.
It was Alan saying Cheryl has a comment in the chat.
Yes, sorry. Thanks, Alan. I just need to find it again. Here we go.
Cheryl,
I think the definitions of what is... Cheryl, you're unmuted.
I am indeed, and hopefully I'm not too rattly, because if waters find that much of a lull, I'm in deep trouble. I just want to argue for having these definitions in, these definitions. In other words, I'm disagreeing with you, Chris. Surprise, surprise.
Well, I didn't say that was my question, Cheryl.
It's all right, guys. You got to realise Chris and I have history. My point is as follows. These definitions are now being used, admittedly, by PDP-style processors, particularly within the GNSO, and I am rattling, so I do apologise. But if whatever we produce, and I would assume under normal circumstances, unless they're extremely exceptional circumstances, we'd be looking at consensus or full consensus anyway. So exactly what Chris has outlined will be the probability of what will be happening. However, if in the unlikely situation where that does not occur, or unless we use definitions which now fit with the paradigm shift that we're operating in other parts of ICANN, there would be an opportunity for people to doubt or claim they do not understand that something did have as high a level of support from this work group as it may. And I just think there is no harm in having it enshrined in the terms of reference. It in no way limits any form of minority report, and it stops this, oh, but we thought you might have meant something different argument that some of us fear we might hear from time to time.
That's fine. I mean, I'm quite comfortable with that. Chuck's got a tick by his name. I'm guessing that means that he's fine with that too. Does anybody have any strong objections, or any objections at all for that matter? Because I think, Cheryl, just so that we're clear, I would want us to go through these words and make sure that they may need a little bit of tweaking to be more appropriate for non-PDP processes. But that's not against the actual principle.
Mm-hmm. But uniformity, as we're trying to re-educate a whole community, is pretty bloody important.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, I still think non-conformity is pretty important too. But leaving that aside. let us not forget that we are all individuals.
Chris, stop it.
Except me, I'm a naughty little boy. You're rattling again, Cheryl.
I was going to say,
You're rattling and so is your phone. So can I take it, I think we can take it, Bart, but subject to doing some fiddling around just to check that it works formally for this particular type of working group, that 371 is fine. Bart, are you there?
I'm still here, yes. And
yeah,
that
okay.
means not just the consensus, but also the whole procedure.
Yeah. I think we're fine with that. And I think, I mean, Cheryl's point is perfectly valid. So I think we're fine with that. It's going to be acceptable to it's no consequence to the C community really, and it'll be acceptable to the GDLDs and the ALAC. So fine with us, I think.
Yeah.
So
the second one is about the should that be part of it 372, because there is reference to 372 in this as well, say the appeal process.
Yeah, that's in there as well.
And that should remain in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just need to look at the words and make sure that they fit. But other than that.
But the principle is adopted. Okay.
Yeah, principle's fine.
Okay, then scroll back. I think that the final one is...
one is whether we do the statements of interest.
Yeah.
Chuck, given that comes comes from your area, I think, the GNSO area. I mean, you obviously presumably think that that's fairly important.
Personally, I sometimes think we spend too much time on them, but as a general rule, yeah, I think it's very important to the GNSO.
It's
something that people would, find showstoppers. I don't know about that. So.
I don't think so. In fact, I think it's given this working group may well be dealing with sensitive commercial information. Given that we're expecting people to be open and frank with everybody else, I think it's probably quite important.
Yeah, and I think that'll be well received in the GNSO. And plus, even though we're looking for technical people on this, some of them are going to have particular interests, and all that it really asks is for people to disclose those.
Absolutely right.
So I don't think it should be that big a deal.
Nope, I'm happy with it. Does anybody have any objections to it?
Just Jay has a comment.
Yes, Jay.
Has his hands up.
Thank you. No, I don't have any objections, but point number 6 just seems slightly odd to me, starting off with that sentence, the board requested that the working group members have blah, blah, blah.
That's not the board.
Jay, thanks. This is Julie. Thanks for raising that. I see that as a typo, and I'll make that change right now. I think it got pulled up from something else. And anyway, I'll take it out.
Don't take it out, Julie. If you change it to refer back to the charter where it says it's a, you know, we've said you should have expertise, please tell us what it is.
I think what Julie and I need to do is run through this document again and make it consistent.
I agree. Okay, but that one should stay in because I think it's important, but it just needs to be a reference back up to clause whatever
at
the beginning of the very beginning. All right. Okay. Any other comments at all for now? Okay. So what needs to happen next, it seems to me, is that we need to get Bart and Julie to knock this into some shape, taking into account the discussions we've had, have a look at the wording for the 371 and 372 just to make sure that it makes sense within the context of this working group, which it would only be minor changes, I should imagine, and get a fresh draft out, but get rid of all of this stuff so that we get a new red line that's just one set of amendments.
Yeah, yeah. We do have a clean version of this one, so you have it all. So that's the one you can compare it with the next red line version.
What's our timing between the two of you to get that out to us?
It shouldn't be. Julie?
I've been actually noting these changes as we've been discussing them, and I think I've captured most of them, but I just need to spend a little time just reading it through, making sure everything is...
Oh, okay.
And then I was planning on sending it to Bart tomorrow.
Marvelous.
Yeah, and I think if everything goes well by Friday, you should have, the working group should have, by Friday or Monday, the working group should have it in its inbox.
Okay.
Okay, I want to jump in here because Monday happens to be the deadline for documents for consideration in Cartagena. So it seems to me if we could get it out to the working group by Friday and at least allow the weekend for any final edits, and so that we can meet that deadline, I think it would be good.
Yeah, that was. So assuming there are no major hiccups...
right.
Okay.
We'll be fine.
Okay.
So let's get that. If you get Julie, if you send it to Bart, and I'll have a look. Just double check through 37 and let you know if I've got any suggested changes to it. Jay, your hands up.
Sorry, yeah, have we going to go on to 456 and the annex or not?
Why do we need to do that? Is there something there that concerns you?
On the annex, there's one little thing I'd like to add, that's all.
What's that?
Well,
I'll scroll down, Jay.
thanks. Under Section 2, it says, I shall have no obligation of confidentiality with respect to information disclosed to me if, and I'd like to add Section F, such information is already known to me. Oh, sorry, that's already in there in B. Sorry, that's already
in there. No, you can't say that because if it's known to you confidentially, then you're still obliged to be confidential about it.
Okay, well, it's already in there in point B, actually, now that I've spotted it, so I'll take that back, sorry.
Yeah. Known to the working group as opposed to known to you.
No, it says before disclosed. Okay.
At the time it's disclosed to me. Okay? All right.
Okay. We need to be careful that people... I've seen this happen a lot in this type of area of security and stability. People release information they claim is confidential. You know bloody well it's not confidential, but they then try to keep you to a restriction about it by claiming that it's confidential. So this currently annex allows somebody to do that.
Why? How does it allow them to do that?
Because it puts the definition on what is not known confidential information on the person disclosing it rather than the person receiving it.
But that's correct. It has to be that way legally. Otherwise, if I give you the information, if you want to argue with me and say that it's not confidential and here's why, that's fine. But if I give it to you and it's marked confidential, then in its gift from me is confidential. It does not mean that if you come by it by another source that's not confidential, then that's fine. But this is about the gift from me of the information. And if that gift from me is confidential, then it is confidential. It's not for you to judge whether it should be or shouldn't be.
Yep. No, that's fine. But you're saying that there's no restriction then that in this on somebody already knowing it through a different source.
That's right.
That's the legal position.
I'm happy with that.
Alan got his hand up as well.
Yes, Alan.
No, I was just going to say something to that effect. Normally, a clause like this says unless it's available through other sources, and it's up to the person treating it non-confidentially to demonstrate that it was indeed available.
Yes, I think that's right.
Basically saying what you said.
Yeah. I mean, no one is suggesting that I can tell you, I can give you a copy of Shakespeare's sonnets and claim that they're confidential.
Well, you can, but it shouldn't hold up.
I can claim it, but it's rubbish. Yes. All right. I think that's it. I think that's it. If everybody's comfortable, we will get the next version out. It would be absolutely brilliant if we could have this published on Monday. Chuck, what's the situation with the G's if we publish it and it has presumably there's scope for minor wordsmith editing without having to republish? In other words, just dealing with not changing context, but just dealing with language.
I don't think that'd be any problem at all.
Okay.
If there are significant, even if there are more significant edits, which I would prefer there weren't, but even if there were, I think if we get it on the table and we certainly communicate any of those carefully. Really, what this needs to be sent, this document will need to be not only published for everyone to read, but in particular sent to the SOs and ACs that are involved because they will approve the charter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, we need to get it on our Cartagena agendas. And in my case, that probably means translations as well. So can I ask, are we planning to translate?
I hadn't even...
Sorry.
It looks like it.
It will appear so, Cheryl, yes.
Because I need to know, am I now putting this on our ALAC translations request list, or is it somehow magically getting done by the group?
It shouldn't go on more than one translations list. The CCNSO doesn't have a translations list, and so therefore it's either you or Chuck, I guess.
Put it on yours, Cheryl.
Okay, I'll push it into mine.
Okay, but that does not stop us from publishing the English version on Monday, of course.
No, not at all. But it's something we tend to do, Chris, is put a little header in there somewhere that says, final subject to toilet and minor edits substantive edits or something, you know.
I think what is worthwhile for the group as well, and because all the SOs are included and the ACs participating, is that, say, over the next couple of days, say, Cheryl, Chuck, and you, Chris, and Julie and I will figure out a way how we want to push this, or not push this forward, but, say, get the adoption processes going so we can coordinate it.
We can do that. Yeah. That will be fine. I mean, if it takes longer for one group to adopt it than another, so be it. But at least if it does...
But then it's very clear. Right. That's another way of involving the NRO as well.
Yeah.
Okay. From my point of view, I don't know about Chuck's, the Monday deadline means that we can actually formally have it on our published agenda for our business meeting that we would be doing.
Yep, got that.
Yeah, and I've already put it on my draft agenda to be posted on Monday. So what I'll do is
I'll send you an email, say tomorrow morning my time, to see what are your requirements to get it going, where does it need to be posted, and everything else, so we can do that easily.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you very much. Are we done?
Ooh,
we
yeah.
are done.
Thanks, Chris.
Indeed.
Mark.
Brilliant work from everybody. It's fantastic. We managed to get it done so far. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.